conversation with Erica Wood of the Valley Permaculture Alliance, talking about their three growing seasons they utilize here. And we had just covered the fall. What's coming up in our spring, March, June season, Erica?
In that season is when you'll plant tomatoes and basil, summer squash, and even corn, so warmer season vegetables. And then the monsoon season, which is usually around the end of June through August, you can plant corn again. Beans to help fix nitrogen. I really like Bisbee black-eyed peas. And we also grow Magdalena big cheese squash that time of year to help shade the earth so it keeps the soil a little cooler. And one thing that I always like to make sure I include in every garden is flowers for your pollinators, which is very important.
That's a great tip. And we're going to have a segment in the next month talking specifically about the bee population. Y'all have a wonderful list of events coming up for the Valley Permaculture Alliance, starting with the community potluck. I love that.
Yeah, I believe it's at the same space where they're doing the Super Adobe Workshop that was today.
And there's another Super Adobe Workshop coming up February 6th. Look at this, Rosie. They're making the natural mud adobe planters. It's just I may have to take off for that.
And also on Monday, there's a seed swap at the Sunset Library. I believe that's in Chandler. Also coming up there, have making wine with any fruit, which who doesn't want to do that, right? And in March 9th, they have Strictly Native, which is about the native plants here in the valley.
Well, Erica, we thank you for your time. People can get to the website by going to?
I think it's vpaaz.org.
Thank you so much. Valley Permaculture Alliance. If you want to get inspired to a sustainable urban lifestyle, that's a great resource that you can get involved with. Good people, and it's just a great, great learning source. So there you appreciate y'all's time. Let's get to Gabe in Tucson talking a little tree whacking. Good morning, Gabe.
How's it going, sir? The reason for my call is the protection of trees and plants in your personal home. I bought a home here, and I wanted to be a good neighbor, so I cleaned up my yard, and all of a sudden there was a Palo Verde tree that had been blown over and was barely hanging on by one root. So I thought I'd be a good neighbor and try to clean up my yard, and I cut this Palo Verde tree down. And just then my neighbor come out running and said that that tree was protected, and I had to leave it where it was.
Yeah, if I were you, I'd smash your cell phone right now and before they triangulate your position and haul you off to the county slammer, man. You're in for it.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Destroying protected cacti in Arizona is a Class 4 felony.
Is it?
A Class 4 felony also includes kidnapping, third-degree burglary, arson, forgery of a credit card, prostitution, or possession of marijuana.
Oh.
But that's for cacti.
However, on your own personal property, unless there is some, you live in a community that it has some kind of deed restriction, or there are some areas in like Scottsdale that you have these certain percentages of a lot you have to leave in natural and open space, mm-hmm. and you're kind of limited as to what you can or can't do in those areas. My guess is if you called, are you in the city of Tucson?
Yeah, the city of Tucson, yeah.
My guess is if you called the city of Tucson code enforcement, they would probably write you a ticket if you left that tree down and dead and dying in your front yard. Palo Verdes, the blue Palo Verde is our state tree, but it is growing on private property, and it's blown over and down. I don't think you have too much to worry about, except I think you have a neighbor you need to worry about.
Are those black helicopters I hear in the background?
That's also bad. I had to do some research last night, and I wanted to call in and see if you can give me a little more information. You did.
Okay.
And I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Gabe. Thanks for tuning in. And yeah, I think you hit it on the head. It's not the plant. It might be the neighbor. Yeah. That opens the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. You can also text questions to 411-923. Let's run to Desert Hills and bring Keith into the conversation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Hey, I've got an acre of land up in Desert Hills. I'm going to put some citrus on it, but I'm out and about cleaning pools for a living, and downtown, lots of pecan trees, which would be, you know, awesome. So pecans do well here. Is there any other nut tree we could plant up there in Desert Hills and, you know, what, 5-10 years from now actually start getting fruit from?
Well, you can grow pistachios.
Oh.
You could grow almonds.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there any particular varieties that do well here?
Well, there are. The almonds, you have to kind of watch your chill hours on. And there's also, when you get into some of these nuts, pistachios and almonds, there's pollination situations. So almonds are, you know, a lot of our bee guys go to California every year to help pollinate almonds. Almonds have a bit of a problem pollinating. You need to probably have more than one. You need to probably do a little research on, and there are some self-fruitful almonds called, there's one called All-in-One that's self-fruiting. So you want to do a little research on which varieties are probably best for the low desert.
Okay. All right, so pecans, pistachios, and almonds are the varieties I can get into. Okay.
Yeah, and pistachios, the same thing. There's male and female. I think they have done some budding to have males and females on the same tree. Chill hours can be a little bit of an issue with pistachios. At Desert Hills, you're pretty cold. You're going to be in the higher end of the chill hours on things there. But if you've got plenty of real estate and property, mm-hmm. and you know they're probably worth a try. But pecans, for sure, if you've got plenty of room, they get big.
I've got some customers with, you know, what, 50-foot-tall pecan trees in their backyard.
Exactly.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you very much. I'll start doing my research on those three then.
Okay. Keith, are you on a shared well or do you have your own private well?
It's a shared well.
Okay. I don't know if y'all have your own regulators or if y'all divide it evenly, but nut trees take a lot of water. And you could, fair warning, I know that a lot of times you could get in sticky situations, and
probably
even
not much more than citrus. So if you're planting citrus, and you know you're going to use, but you are going to use a pretty good amount of water. So make sure you've got plenty available if that's your situation.
Yeah, we appreciate the call. And you had said the research. Most, just about any local nursery isn't going to sell a nut tree that's not going to produce here. They're going to at least let you know this is a decorative, or you
may
not.
A local nursery, but be careful. I saw a post on Facebook yesterday about somebody that bought some fruit trees at Costco, and they bought an Alberta peach, and that won't work here. So, you know where you're buying things from and know what varieties you're buying before you do it.
I wouldn't consider Costco a local nursery.
You hit the key there, local nursery.
I didn't even know Costco sold plants.
Oh my gosh.
They probably get a huge bulk order out of somewhere
and put it all over
their stores across the country.
Yeah, and there again, they got to buy on a bunch of Alberta peaches, and it might be a great peach. In some places, it's an old good variety, but it won't work here.
So what would be a correct peach be?
Well, there's a bunch of them. June Gold, Desert Gold, May Pride, Mid Pride, Eva's Pride, Florida Prince. I'm sure I've left out somebody's favorite. Red Baron's one of my favorites because Red Baron gets a big old red double flower on it, and then a great peach. Babcock's a good one. Tropic Snow. It's going off the top of my head. But there's a lot of good peaches that do well here, but they all are low chill requiring varieties.
Of all the plants or all the trees in our orchard, that to me has the prettiest bloom. And it's a short window, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, but it's right out the bathroom window. And every morning in the springtime, we get to see just this beautiful, beautiful bloom.
The Red Baron or just peaches? Peaches in general are pretty, but Red Baron's got a reddish, big double flower. Looks almost like it should be a flowering variety, but it sets a great fruit. Yeah, so chill hours. So we probably ought to expand on that. I'm throwing that term out there. That is the cumulative amount of hours that we receive that are under 45 degrees or lower. Just as an average, we probably get on a normal winter 350 hours of chill in most of the valley areas. So if you're getting something that's over 500 hours, and especially if you live in a more urban area, there's going to be most winters you're not going to get any fruit. So you need to pick those varieties that are 250, 300 hours or less, unless you live in Desert Hills or Queen Creek or someplace like that. You know, you might get upwards of 500 or 600 or 700 hours of chill some winters.
Isn't there a map that you can dial into your area that'll tell you what your anticipated chill hours are? Like, Desert Hills is going to be significantly different than
Arcadia.
Arcadia.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure that my guess is that probably the county extension has recorded that, maybe historically, so they would know, this area might get this many hours. That's a really good question. That'd be worth going on their website and seeing if they have that.
Self-fruiting nuts. The streets of Las Vegas are full of them.
Yes, they are. Well, in most pecan varieties anymore are self-fruitful. You don't need pollinators for a lot of those. Not that they wouldn't do better if you had more than one. But that's something to really be careful of when you get into some of these varieties is, do they need a pollinator? Almost all of our fruit trees anymore are self-fruitful. Satsuma plum is a plum that we grow here that does need a pollinator. Typically either another Satsuma or Santa Rosa is a very good pollinator for it, so you can have two different kinds of plums. That's the only ones I can think of off the top of my head anymore, though. But there again, be careful when you buy something. Look at that tag. If it doesn't provide that information, have somebody look it up or don't buy it.
And when you say self-pollinators, do you still need the bees to come around, or will the bees hurt them if they're around? Or
you still need the forces of nature to pollinate the flower. It just means you don't need another tree. When they put self-fruitful or self-pollinating on there, that means you don't need to buy two trees.
Got it.
Okay. That doesn't mean you don't need pollinators like bees or hummingbirds or wind or whatever to pollinate. That still has to happen. They still have to get pollinated, but you don't need
a male or female,
or sometimes it's not a male or female. It's just you need another tree there to help it pollinate, to have enough pollination going on. So anyway, yeah, you still got to have something pollinating the flower like a bee.